Blog Talk Radio.
That was Nisha Sharpley coming out of Lawrence County, Moulton, Alabama. She's with Third Dimension Entertainment. Okay, today Shamika talks about her book, Surviving the System, The Life of a Foster Child. Okay, and she is an author also here from Lawrence County. So I want to introduce you to author Shamika R. Pointer. Good afternoon. How's it going?
It's going good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Down here in the country, so you know how it is. We got one of those overcast days, expecting a little bad weather. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I actually grew up in Town Creek, and that's where I was placed in foster care. I'm actually from Decatur, Alabama, but I grew up in Town Creek from the ages 2 to I went to college. I'm now 36 years old, and I now reside in Atlanta, Georgia. I've been here 2 years, just working on my books, my publishing company, just trying to do different things to help the community, to reach out, you know, to foster kids and try to, you know, give them a better name than just being a foster child. So that's my goal in the future, to kind of reach out and be an advocate for foster kids.
Okay, well, tell our listeners some of the stigmas that's put upon kids in foster care. I know there's some negative stigmas out there, and you're addressing them in the book. But could you just tell our readers some of the things that you've seen happen? And also, I want to ask you, looking back on it, you know, tell us some things that you wish you could have changed about the system itself.
Well. In the system, you know, I've researched and I've also been through it, personal experience. Statistics are very high when it comes to foster kids. As far as when they opt out the system, they become burglars, robbers, prostitutes, just different kind of negative things in the community. And as I was researching them, it kind of like made me feel some type of way. I kind of didn't feel too good about how the world saw foster kids, because I have to say, all foster kids are not. You have those that kind of get mixed up in the world and they start doing things, you know, out of hurt, spite, and you know, the rejection that they had. But at the same time, you still have the ones that are able to come in the world and to be positive and to do things, you know, in the right way. The things I would change as I was growing up was, as far as, you know, the foster care system, they really don't teach foster kids how to survive in the system. They don't teach them how to survive outside the system as well. They don't teach them like how to manage money, how to pay bills. I mean, when I was growing up, none of that was taught. So as I got out the system, I felt like I was standing in this world, like in this whole big world, just me, myself, and I, looking around, trying to figure out, you know, what do I do? Where do I belong? Where do I start? And that's one thing I want to work on. I want to work on getting more opportunities, getting more programs for foster kids, so when they do get out the system, they'll know how to survive outside the system. The system also, it kind of puts you in a place where you only see things one way, because it's like that you really don't have a choice most of the time. You actually have to do exactly what they tell you to do. This is going to happen. We're going to do this. And you have no, all you do is follow them. It's like you have no voice. And that's one thing. Another thing I want to work on, foster kids having voices, even though they're in the system, they still should have a voice to say if they like this and if they don't.
Yeah. It's sort of like you live a life where you feel like, you know, a foster kid seem like would feel like you have no control in the world. You know, like everyone's pulling from direction. And I know, because I do a lot of research and activism when it comes to foster care and child support. And I know that they give out big money. I mean, I got investigative reporters out now looking at some cases here around Alabama. And it gives an incentive to do it too fast, I think. And when it comes to child support, it gives an incentive to do it too much, because a lot of people don't know that the foster care and child support fall up under the Social Security Act. And these judges, these counties, these caseworkers get huge allotments for these cases. It's going toward their retirement. So, and I just hate that. One of the things I hate about the system, and it spills on over into child support, is the courts are not set up and they're not interested in reuniting or keeping the family strong. It seems they profit off people's broken homes and broken situations. It seems like they're too quick to put you in the system and then profit off of it.
Right, exactly. And I think that's where they take the voice away, even from the parents that has to give their kids up into the system. They take the voice away from, and it's like they have complete control over everything. They have control over, you know, where they go to school. I mean, everything, they just have control. Like, and I know, like you talking about the incentives and the money that they get, you know, most of the time, and, you know, I'm just going to be honest, most of the time, most foster parents, they're looking at how much money they can bring in their home just by taking in the child. But at the same time, they're forgetting that this child probably has mental issues. This child has been abandoned. This child has anger issues. And so when the child comes in the home, it's like, you know, we don't want you here. But because the only focus you had was the money that you was going to get bringing into the home.
No, I was just going to say, I don't know about your situation, because I haven't read the book. Don't know if it's in the book. But you can run into a situation where the person started out just like the system started out. The system started, let's get this child into a foster home without trying to repair the family. And, you know, they get these cases going, you know, where they're going to get money. And then the parent, if it's not the right parent, the parent's focus could be money. So there's two people. You got a whole state-backed system focused on the money, and then you got a foster parent focused on the money, and nobody, like you said, nobody's looking at the outcome of the child who was in this broken home in the place. It seems like that's not the major focus, is to try to, you know, aid that they just been through. It's all about the money.
Yeah, everything is about the money. Right. Yeah. And I wanted to share too, also the foster parent that raised me was actually my great aunt and my great uncle. It was 10 of us in all by the same mom and dad. And my dad, he at the time he was an alcoholic and he was abusive to my mom, so we all got took. But it was 8 of them that, like, my great uncle and my great auntie, it was 8 of them sisters. They all took 2 of us apiece somewhere up in the area. And then one of my brothers got sent to Fayetteville, North Carolina. But at the same time, they actually, I mean, we never wanted for anything. That was, you know, we had what we needed. We had what we wanted. But the only thing was kind of lacking was the emotional support, the love, you know. And that's the thing I wanted to talk about. You know, as kids, foster kids come into homes, we have to realize that it's not about, you know, so I know that, you know, you're supposed to clothe them, bathe them, feed them, you know, take care of them. But the emotional support is one of the main things that a foster child needs, because you never know how many times they've been placed in homes. You never know, you know, just where their mental state is at the moment. And, you know, we can look
and
around
excuse me, cut you off, and you don't know sometimes if you get a child, they may have been in 2 or 3 foster homes previously. Mm-hmm. You don't know how that treatment was, you know, whatever situation. If you take a child dealing with some issues and then they go into 2 or 3 homes, you know, and they didn't get any good treatment, as far as, like you said, the emotional support and maybe even, you know, professional treatment. But I just feel for those kids who have to go through that and may have suffered some type of abuse while they were in one of those foster homes. So it's just a very scary event. And I'm so glad that you know, you made it out and you can talk about it. And that's what I like doing here, bringing voices to power, is to hear from people like you, telling their stories so other people can learn and be educated.
Right. And I just really want the foster parents, the ones that's taking them in, to not just look at the incentive that's going to come with the child. Focus more on what the child is, how the child is coming into the home, you know, kind of look over their paperwork, look in the background, search them, research them, doing some research on them, try to figure out what can I do to make this child better as a person. Because what's inside is, and if we never work on the inside of a child, you know, they can be a product of their environment, as well as, you know, on the streets doing whatever they thought their parents was, you know, saw their parents doing, or just, you know, getting into the wrong crowd. You know, that's why we have to put special treatment and time into foster kids, and not see them just as an incentive, as a check. Oh, if I take them in, then. Yes.
I was going to say, especially the teenagers, because they're coming into that age where, you know, they want their freedom, and, you know, they're on the doorsteps of adulthood. So, you know, combine the foster care, and then with that, you know, it can be challenges. And some people may mean well, but they may be overwhelmed. You might not be ready to be a foster parent, because it takes a lot to be a foster parent.
Right. Like, I mean, think about a year ago, I was actually in the process of becoming a foster parent. And I went through the classes, a 2-week course that you have to take, you know, to get certified. I went through all of that. But when I got finished, I realized I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready emotionally. That's the thing, because I still have some healing to do myself. I still have some things I have to work out. I can't help another foster child, you know, to be a foster parent until I get myself together emotionally. And I just thank God that, you know, I'm to this point where I can really just speak out and kind of tell my story. And not only am I going to heal others, but I'll be healing myself in the process. And I just, you know, I thank God for that. That you, sometimes you have to fix yourself first. You have to fix yourself before you can fix somebody else. So I realized that I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready, and I was not about to bring someone in my home and do more damage to them than help them. So I had to realize I have to wait, you know, to the right time, and I will eventually be one.
Yeah, and you'll know when is the right time, but you're off to a great start, like writing this book. You know, that's putting it out there so other people can learn from it. So you're off to a good start, and you'll achieve that goal. Do you have any events coming up in the area of Lawrence County back in Alabama? I know you left us, but like I told you before, we need all our Lawrence County native Lawrence County people to come back, because all of us, black, white, no matter what, all of us are very talented and very smart. If you just look back on everybody who left here and what they've achieved, just imagine how great this county would be if we all come back and try to invest something. But, tell us a little about that.
Well, right now I'm working on, I have a young lady in Florence, Alabama. Her name is Kimberly Jackson. She's working on setting me up to do like a book signing and to come and speak in Florence, Alabama. And that will be next month on the 29th. And I will have more information on Facebook, Instagram,
let me know so I can put that up on Huntsville Black. And also, shouts out to Mobile. I've now connected with one of my friends from Alabama A&M University. We did some political things back in the day, so we got Mo Black down there in Mobile. So I'm gonna be putting it everywhere. So whenever you get some information fly or whatnot, I'll definitely help promote that.
Okay, and I sure will. And that's the only thing I really got set up for now. I'm going to eventually do a book signing here in Atlanta. I haven't, got the dates or anything, but I'm going to eventually have one, and I'll let you know about that one too. But I want to go ahead. I want to go home first. I want to go back to Alabama, and I always try to go back home and do what I need to do there. And I'm like you said, we need more. You need the people that left there to come back and still try to make a difference. And that's one thing I want to do too. I'm willing to, go back and, kind of help in the area that I need to help in, even if it's just foster care, domestic violence. I'm big on domestic violence, helping women as well, because I came out of a domestic violence marriage. So I'm big on that as well. I'm big on just being an advocate, the voice that they feel like they can't talk. I'm ready now to talk and, be that voice for them and just speak out and try to help them in areas that they feel like there is no hope. So that's where I'm at right now.
That's very good. And I can say it on the radio, we in talks, I offered you, you can come on, use this show as a platform to reach back and help, not just in the Lawrence County community where you grew up, but everywhere. So, we'll work that out and get the message across. Right now, I'm gonna take a break, and I'm going to play the Orr Sisters, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to ask you about any GoFundMes or how can somebody help. So we'll be right back after this is the Orr Sisters.
Hallelujah.
we're back with Shamika Pointer, and we're talking about her book, Surviving the System, The Life of a Foster Child. Shamika, where can people find the book?
It's on lulu.com. That's lulu.com. And you can go on online and order it. But if you want a personal autograph by me, you can just call me at 770-875-8535. And I can get all your information.
Okay, you also have a website for the book, right? Or a page, Facebook page?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. It's so yes, I have a Facebook page called Surviving the Life of a System. I mean, Surviving the System, the Life of a Foster Child, where you can also go on there. And my Facebook account name is Shamika. I made it Pointer.
Okay. The next thing I was going to ask you was about. Okay, have you, and also you do the publishing too, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah, because we had talked about that, and I know I'm also working on a book, and I know a couple of people that's working on books, so hopefully we can get something together on that. Now, let me ask you, have you and all your siblings, of course you all have reunited and y'all are staying close in touch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I'm
great.
Huh?
Yeah, I said that's great because I have seen, but see, y'all were blessed that you weren't too far apart. I've seen, like I said, two siblings get separated, and one eventually ended up in another state, and they, like, never reunited until they were, like, way up in age.
Right. Like, growing up, we all got to know each other. We would meet at the skating rink and areas like that, you know, just to stay connected. Now that we're older, I actually moved here. I have my older brother that I told you was in North Carolina. He's actually 17 minutes away from me, which I know was God. Yeah, that was God because he didn't know I was moving here. I didn't know he was moving here. And then I have another sister. She's like an hour away. She's in Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Okay.
And then, and the other ones are still back home in Decatur.
And social media helps you a lot, too, you know.
Yes, sir. It does.
To keep in touch.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you want to let our people know? Anything else you're working on besides this book? Do you have another book that you're about to come out with or start working on?
I will. I'm going to start another book. It's going to be part two. Surviving the System. It's going to be the life of foster children. It just won't be about me. I'm going to do some interviews on other foster kids who have survived the system, and I'm just going to put them in the book and let them tell their story. So this book probably it probably will be out. I'll say just give me probably next year. Just give me enough time. If not, if it's before that, I'll let you know.
Okay, will be great, and glad to appreciate it, and we will promote it.
Okay.
Okay, tell us, before we wrap up and go, tell us about, you're also very good in sports as well. You know, there's nothing but champions downtown Creek and Cortland way.
Well, I played basketball ever since 92, and I was on the 1998 state championship team. Which I will never forget, which I still miss those days. And I want to give a shout out to my coach, Coach Darren Lyle. He's very crazy, but I love him.
He's been on my show a few times. I mean, he has sparked some controversy quite a few times.
I can only imagine. This is Coach talking about.
he was on my show. We were talking some politics quite a few times, and he came on and he talked about, you know, just basically how the system was, you know, and he talked about that tax, and that tax got defeated, and our superintendent ended up leaving. But he made a good argument, you know, on the show, and so, you know, 1,000 people listened to that show.
And wow.
Yeah. 1,000 people listened to it. And that was just from the day before the vote and 3 days later, we had like 700 and something listens. I think that podcast, I think it turned the vote. I think it turned the vote. He turned the vote on that because, I mean, everybody was listening to it, and he just so happened made the better points.
Mm. Wow, that's amazing.
That is. So we're going to wrap it up, and thank you for coming on, and you're welcome to come on anytime to promote anything that you're doing. Are you related to...
I appreciate it.
Okay, that's fine. When I created this show, the main thing I wanted to do was to highlight the talent in Lawrence County. You know, I'm still trying to get some people on here maybe that play bluegrass or something like that. You know, I've had the Orr Sisters on here. I've had Ken Orr on here. And the song we played in the intro, Nisha Sharpley, she has Third Dimension Entertainment. You know, she puts on plays, and she's also a gospel singer. And so I was trying to highlight people that's from the area because there's so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a guy, Clarence Pencilman Pointer from Hillsborough. He's a pencil artist.
That's my cousin.
Oh, is it? Yeah, he was on the show. That is a cool cat right there. That's a cool cat. And he got talent. I'm telling you, he got talent.
Right.
I enjoyed having him on the show. And I've been seeing this stuff on our Facebook. We really getting down out there.
Yeah. I think he's in California, right?
Yeah. He comes home a few times. We're supposed to link up. And the Muriel, I didn't know he did the Muriel in Cortland until he was on the show.
Wow.
At Cortland High School. I think he did two.
Mm-hmm.
He did two down there. But they look real good. Well, it's been great having you. Oh, yes, you can. It's been great having you on the show, Shamika Porter, and I wish you much success. We'll be in touch because there's some things that we can work on in the community. I'm all down for that. So stay in touch and come back on and update our listeners at any time. And think about that spot I was talking about, you know, so you can use the platform.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, thank you for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bringing voices to power. Grassroots mouthpiece.
It's the rap. Hip hop. The rap.
They can't stop us. United Voices with Sherry Saunders. Sundays 5 to 7. The Child Support Hustle is real. You can catch the Child Support Hustle show Saturdays from 5 to 7 with co-hosts Drew D and Kenya R. The Child Support Hustle is real.
Hip hop.
bringing voices to power. Catch me on HuntsvilleBlack.com. That's HuntsvilleBlack.com. Let your voice be heard on HuntsvilleBlack.com. Don't miss the Grassroots Mouthpiece Show, Tuesdays from 8 to 10. Bringing voices to power.
To the rail. Hip hop. Hip hop.
Bringing voices to power.